As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
As you all know, first prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Anybody want to see second prize? Second prize is set of second prize. Third prize is your fire.
The power of Grayskull.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Pizcast Oscar edition. It's been a while, so it takes me a while to get that out. As you know, every year we do the Pizcast Oscar edition because I'm a big movie nerd, and so is DJ, and most of my friends as well. Hello, DJ.
Hello, Nick. How you doing?
Great. Today we have the Big V with us. Who's our normal cast of characters is are otherwise engaged, so it's gonna be up to us three to kind of break down these year's Oscar films, have a few laughs, and in general waste an hour and a half of all of our times. So let's start off at the very beginning. This year in movies was actually pretty good. I would have to say, just looking at the Best Picture category, there are none here that surprised me. Maybe a couple of people think films like I personally think Place Behind the Pines, Beyond the Pines, should have been on the Best Picture list.
Really? Oh wow!
I loved it.
Yeah, it was good. I was so caught off guard with Gosling getting the axe in like the first 30 minutes.
Spoiler alert!
Most people were. I think.
Well, I think that's what made it so much more entertaining for me, at least, is it grabbed you.
Oh, I totally
with that slip, and then all of a sudden you're into a new narrative about fathers and sons.
It was like a three-part movie. You were into a total. As soon as that happened, you went into a whole nother thing that I did not see coming. It was amazingly done. I thought it was done well. It worked.
Yeah, and I actually knew that twist was coming.
Oh,
and
really?
There was a visual reaction, an audible in the theater when I saw it, and that scene came, and you just saw like a wave go through the theater of. What?
What I loved about that one scene.
I was pissed because I was feeling like the whole bank robbery thing, like his life, and you know, trying to get his son back. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be maybe like a. I thought it was going to be like a good cop versus that catch, you know, good cop, bad cop, like Bradley Cooper catching the bad guy type of movie. And then it just went a whole 360 direction I did not see coming at all.
Yeah, we, you know, I kind of started going that way, that the because I knew at some point we'd have to introduce Bradley Cooper. And it was coming more to this right angle that I knew could only go one way or the other. And knowing that I haven't seen any of Bradley Cooper yet, I was kind of foreshadowing it. But still, just those last moments of him just like apologizing and talking, it didn't surprise me, but it shocked me when it actually did occur. And the way that it occurred as well.
Yeah.
In the ending, I don't know. It was a sad movie too, because I felt like, well, I don't know if you haven't seen it, DJ, sorry, but the ending, I just felt so bad for the kid. Like, he just kind of didn't get dealt with anything. And, like, Bradley Cooper's kid pretty much gets everything and goes on with his life. Like, it was interesting.
I think that was one of the reasons I liked it, too, is just how ambiguous and sad the ending was.
Oh, so sad. Oh.
And the Oscars have a way of making you cry, so.
So it should have been included.
It should have been included. But still, like, none of these films, it's not like it's the year of The Help, where, like, The Help didn't belong in the list of Best Picture.
Yeah. Like, there was another one.
Crash.
Post-9/11 movie. I didn't even see that, but I heard it was
cool. Oh, yeah. Extremely loud and incredibly close.
I don't even know how that was. I think that was a year. Was that the year Inception? No.
No, that was last year, wasn't it?
I think it might have been last year.
Yeah,
it was really. You know, and I still stand by the fact that it's not a bad film. It just wasn't a great film either. But I think on this list we have a list of very good to
very good movies.
Almost great films.
Yeah,
none of them stand out to me as being, with the exception of one that I've seen, stand out as being great. But they're all very good films.
Yeah, they are. They are very excellent. I was surprised. I think it's the closest race I've seen between movies in a long time. I can't remember the last time it was this tight.
And they're all small, you know, for the most part. I mean, maybe Captain Phillips and American Hustle and Wolf of Wall Street probably had the biggest budgets.
I think Gravity was kind of one of those commercial but very good films too. I mean, that made like what, over $200 million, I think.
I don't know the numbers in front of me.
Yeah, okay. I think I'm pretty sure it's, because internationally I want to say it's up to like 600 something. So
what was great with Gravity?
Basically, for 200.
I can't wait to talk about Gravity because it was one of the first films I saw of the Best Picture lot that I was really into. But let's start off first.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me? You got me?
Yeah. Okay. I was just now. It's all right.
All right. So let's go first. I haven't seen any of these. I'm not sure if you guys have. Best documentary.
Let me see. Let me go to the categories.
The categories are The Act of Killing,
yes,
Cutie and the Boxer, Dirty Wars, The Square, and 20 Feet from Stardom.
Yes, I've seen.
The only one I saw recently, I saw Blackfish, and that's not on there.
No.
I saw The Act of Killing.
You saw The Act of Killing?
Yeah.
That seems to be what I've heard. It seems to be that's going to be the one that wins.
Yeah, I don't see how anything
beats it,
yeah.
What I think is really interesting, too, is The Square is a Netflix, film.
Really?
Yeah, I think. I mean, I'll edit that out if I'm wrong. But in the year where Netflix really took over the Emmys, and they're going to continue to take over the Emmys, they actually have a Netflix film on there, too.
Wow.
I think is really interesting.
Yeah, I've heard phenomenal things about Act of Killing, disturbing, but just like outright in your face, just shockingly, and it's just so good. It's so well done.
Yeah, it's one of probably one of the most powerful films I've ever seen, and it's really it's unlike anything else I've ever seen.
The premise of it is so eerie. I don't know if I want to watch it. It's just so weird.
Why don't you break down the premise? Because I think I have an idea, but you've actually seen it.
So it's taking Now I don't even know where.
It's an actual genocide.
Yeah,
it's
taking the military leaders who were part of this genocide, and it looks at them basically interacting with their families, and then at the same time they're having them reenact what they did in like musical numbers or like making kind of movies about what they did, but in a very kind of flashy Broadway style almost.
Did the producers put them up to make them these movies as kind of to mock them, or were they doing it anyway?
No, it's yeah.
They were doing them anyway as their historical reenactment of the event.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's any real intended comedy. There's parts that are, I guess, kind of uncomfortably funny just because of what it is they're doing before they get to the reenactment, kind of the costumes and some of the other things they're doing. But it's chilling once it gets into them reenacting what they did with all this kind of pageantry about it and kind of making a movie out of it.
Yeah, it is
crazy.
Sick. Yeah, that's a great point. It's very sick. It's how despots rewrite history. When you look at North Korea, like that's how they rewrite all their history is with this fake pageantry and baloney. That's my very, throwing back to 1940s term today, baloney. So best adapted screenplay, Before Midnight, Richard Linklater, Julie Delpy, and Ethan Hawke. All three of them wrote it, the three stars?
Yeah, and they were nominated for the second one in the trilogy, too, for best screenplay. So the three of them, this is their second nomination as a kind of trio.
I didn't know they all wrote.
Yep.
Captain Phillips, Billy Ray, not Cyrus. Philomeno, Steve Coogan, who actually stars in them as well. 12 Years a Slave, John Ridley, I have no information about him. And The Wolf of Wall Street, Terrence Winter, better known for his job in Sopranos and Boardwalk Empire.
That's right, yeah.
So I've seen two of these, Captain Phillips and Wolf of Wall Street. I'll be honest, what got me about The Wolf of Wall Street is the performance of the dialogue. I don't think the dialogue was necessarily that great, or his monologues were that gripping. And as far as
it's the way they were done, though,
right? Yeah. And as far as scene description is the same.
The energy, the level, like that speech that DiCaprio does before they sell the Steve Madden stock, I get fired up. I've seen the movie three times. I get fired up watching that. He's a coach delivering a speech to like his athletes. I don't know what it is, but like it's the way they. It's the way they delivered it. You're right, because the dialogue's not, like, super highly intellectual.
Right, and I don't think you mean the scene descriptions, which are the two things you look for in a best screenplay, are even that that gripping either. It's really, it's the genius of Scorsese to make those six steps feel like a staircase.
Yeah, and then
when he's high in Quaaludes.
The performances, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Captain Phillips, I thought, I thought the subtext to Captain Phillips was really strong. But again, it didn't blow me out of the water as being a great script. Those are the two I've seen.
I would agree with that. I mean, I felt like it's directed well, and I'm surprised that Greengrass didn't get directed, because from the beginning, from when it starts, when they get on the boat, you're kind of glued on to the way that he's showing two sides of, you know, what these Somalians do, that's their job, and then they're showing, you know, how they have to get through their daily lives pretty much by robbing these vessels. But screenplay-wise, it was mediocre.
Yeah, and out of the nominations, Before Midnight's actually my favorite out of the screenplays. That's the one that when I think a lot of it is if you've seen the two that come before it and how they've just built this relationship over three movies, I think 8 years in between each movie, and watching this relationship grow and change and mature. It's some very powerful writing, which is reinforced by the performances. And so I think for me, it's my picks for best screenplay would be Before Midnight and 12 Years a Slave.
I still haven't seen 12 Years a Slave, and it's one that I was trying to find. I just never had a chance to find it.
I did see it. Movie is unbelievably gripping. It's one of the most powerful movies I've seen since Gandhi. I mean, it's one of those movies I can never watch again because it's so disturbing. The realistic brutality of what went on during that. And they've never shown slavery. I mean, we've learned about through history books, but I've never seen it through the way that it's told through this film. It's just not as like graphic. There's some scenes that are graphic, but it's just the tone of it. It's very
barbaric
and brutalistic. And right from when it starts to the very end, like, you're just so gripped to watching. But I had to turn my head. I just couldn't watch. I can never watch it again. But I feel like that's going to win Best Adapted Screenplay. They delivered on all levels on that film.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. Like, that's probably one of the intentions for it, is to, if you look at the Academy and America in general, you know, making white people just really understand just how, I mean, you can read about it and you can read about it and you can watch documentaries, but the moment where you're shown, it's so much like a Schindler's List.
Yeah.
Like, you can read about the Holocaust, but when you start to experience it through that vivid imagery.
Yeah.
Who didn't see it? Did you guys all see it?
I've seen it. I have not seen it.
Okay, you have not seen it. Okay.
But I am just saying, from what I've read and what I'm guessing, and what I've heard, what you just said, I think nails it, is that it's so gripping and it's so shocking that how can you not pay attention to it?
Yeah, I mean,
I would say watch it once. You'll be blown away by the performances of everyone. And there's a lot of cameos I did not even know were in the movie, which actually blew me away too. There's a lot of people that supported the film and show up, and I was just surprised, but. Yeah, it's a good watch once, and it'll stick with you. The movie stuck with me for about a week, and I just couldn't get over some of the stuff that this guy actually went through and what he saw. And, it's just horrible.
Yeah, it's a tough one to shake.
I think it's something we've talked about in the past, too, is when that's always a great sign of a good movie and a great screenplay, is when you've seen it and you can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah. And I think, to think that this only happened less than, 200 years ago, maybe, in this country. It's not really that long ago.
No, it's not. Which is really kind of remarkable, too, when you still people still, like, you know, socially, just still gripping the whole racist mentality. It's still alive and well, because it's only four generations past.
It's not that long ago, but to deliver and show it the way it is, it's pretty remarkable.
So we're moving on to Best Original Screenplay. American Hustle, Blue Jasmine, Dallas Buyers Club, Her, and Nebraska. I have seen two of these.
This one's tough for me. I'll go last.
Okay, I've seen American Hustle and Dallas Buyers Club. I don't think neither of those are going to win. I saw American Hustle, and I was actually thought it was boring. Not boring, but I was bored by the pacing of it. Oh. I didn't think that the... Really, if you were taking like American Hustle or Silver Linings Playbook,
I'll tell you my story at the end. So
when we get the best picture, dive into American Hustle.
So, but I didn't think the screenplay was, there's some. Once again, it's the characters that make it interesting in their dialogue. It's the actors. It's not the actual dialogue, which I found gripping or even interesting. Dallas Buyers Club, however, totally different. I think it's a fantastic story. And I think it's one of those real films where the description of that time frame, and it's another one where the subtext is what gets you. is that you're looking at from 85 to 90, like 91-ish, because he died in 97, so 91, 92.
Yeah.
So it's really, it's groundbreaking. I was watching it the other night with my wife, and I was telling her, like, I don't remember that because I was like 7 years old. But I remember reading about it and reading about that time when it was, you know, for lack of a better term, because he's a radio guy, it's the Wild West of medical research.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out which 30 pills are going to make you live 6 weeks longer than they thought you were going to. With all that being said, I haven't seen it, but I think Her is probably the strongest choice.
And that's what I would.
I would agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
I don't think Woody Allen has a chance with all the negative press in the last 6 weeks.
Recent stuff coming out, there's no way he's out of it. I mean, by long shot. If they give it to him, they're going to. With a death wish, if they give that to
him. They gave the pianist Roland Polanski, so
yeah, let's that's not. True. That's true, too.
Yeah, I honestly don't think the Academy cares. I think if they vote for Woody Allen, they'll vote for Woody Allen. Yeah. I don't think Blue Jasmine's going to win, but I think it's going to Her, and I'd like to see it go to Her.
Is it better or worse than Small Time Crooks?
Oh, Blue Jasmine's really good. It's really, really good.
I haven't seen it yet.
I think we'll get to that more when we get to Best Actress. But I loved Her, and it's such an original movie that I don't see how it can't go to Her.
Everything I've heard about Her is that
it's a film that I would dig.
Yeah,
I just is one of those other ones, just like the 12 Years a Slave. It was out so quickly, and it was out in so limited areas that I just had a chance. I had a hard time trying to go find it.
Yeah, I caught it, like, the first when they released it, first weekend on that Sunday. I saw it, and at first I didn't want to see it. I'm like, what kind of movie is some guy fall in love with a comedian? I'm like, this is so stupid. But then you watch it, it's like, our generation is turning into Siris and iPads and iPhones. I go, may not be that too far off, but... It is so original, and it just blew me away watching. I actually watched it twice because I really enjoyed the film.
I'm such a big Spike Jonze fan that's number one. Anything he does, I want to go see with a passion.
See, I'm hit or miss. I like the what's the one with Nick Cage?
Adaptations.
Okay, yeah, I love that one. That was really good.
Oh, I love Spike. I you didn't like Where the Wild Things Are?
I didn't see that one.
Oh, I thought. That movie is so... It's not that it's flawed, but it's such a huge backstory about the problems and trying to make it, that when it's actually finally made...
Yeah, I know about that. Yeah, yeah, I read about all that stuff. It took a while for them to put it out. I did read all that, yeah.
So you think it's going to be Her, then?
Yes.
I think it's going to be Her.
I should state
American
that...
American Hustle, I enjoyed, but I think you said Dallas Buyers Club, I really like. I mean, I'll talk about more with Best Picture, but I was really blown away by that film. And more the performances than the film, but... the original screenplay, as you said, and there were a lot of things when I watched it I didn't know about how many pills these people had to take to stay alive and where they had to go to get other drugs, and the FDA wasn't approving stuff like that. But I think Her is going to win it.
Yeah, and I think Her is going to win it, and that's what I'd like to see win it. And I should say that, going back to Adapted for a second, I don't think Before Midnight's going to win. That's just the one I wanted to see win. I do think I agree with both of you that it's going to 12 Years a Slave.
So you don't think then that it's going to be? It's not Richard Linklater's Lord of the Rings.
No, I don't think so.
The last film, So Best Supporting Actress. We'll move on to Sally Hawkins from Blue Jasmine. My Love, Jennifer Lawrence from American Hustle. Lupita Nyong'o. I think we'll hope I'm saying.
Oh
that,
yeah,
right?
12 Years a Slave.
12 Years a Slave. Julia Roberts, August Osage County, and June Squibb,
yeah.
Nebraska. Have I seen any of these? I saw American Hustle. I wanted to see Nebraska because I love Alexander Payne, but I can't. I haven't seen it. So I'm going to say with Jennifer Lawrence, she was my favorite part about American Hustle. She was entertaining. Her role was pretty integral, and I think they wrote the wall pretty well.
So much.
Oh, she's in. Yeah, and that's why it made her role so good, is that she was so good at just making you so annoyed at her.
Oh my god!
But since I haven't seen the other four, DJ.
Yeah, I think it's a really strong category. All five of those performances were very, very strong. But I think it very well could go to Jennifer Lawrence, but and as much as Hollywood and the Academy seem to love her, I don't think they're going to give her two back to back. I think this one's going to go to Lupita Nyong'o.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. And her performance in 12 Years a Slave was one of the things that that just blew me away. And it
blew me away. I just got goosebumps thinking about one scene. Oh, just chilling.
Yeah, and combined with what Chiwetel Ejiofor does in his role, and those two performances together, they're both extremely strong. But and I don't want to say she was a standout. They're both a standout in that movie, but there's just something about the character she played and her performance that for me, just that's part of what stayed with me for the weeks after I saw the movie.
Yes. Oh yeah. I totally agree. I'm going to go on. I didn't see Blue Jasmine in Nebraska. So I saw American Hustle 12 years in, August, Osage County. Jennifer Lawrence is good, compelling. Like you said, I don't think they're going to give her two back to backs. She was very good in it. Annoying a few parts, but I don't think she carried enough of it for her to get the supporting role. Lupita Nyong'o, I think they're going to give her the Oscar, but I'm going to go on a limb and say Julia Roberts may win. I saw August Osage County. It's a very interesting movie, and she sticks out. She makes an unbelievable performance in that movie.
Yeah,
it's about
she does.
A dysfunctional family. Some of the scenes she had, I would never in a million years have seen Julia Roberts act in such a way, especially with her the language that she's delivering, her foul mouth.
Wait,
she holds her own against Meryl Streep in every scene.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, she blows. I was like, I had to stop. I'm like, she just blew Meryl Streep out the water. And they had this one crazy dialogue, and I was shocked. I go, Julia Roberts could actually win this category. She might, some reason they might give it to her. I don't think they will, but she's my second. Like, she's one of, I don't know. I'm at a tie between Lupita Nyong'o and Julia Roberts. I don't know who's going to get it.
I never thought I'd hear Julia Roberts as the dark horse candidate for anything.
She did win for Erin Brockovich.
No, but she was the favorite for Erin.
Yeah,
she was the favorite for Erin. Yeah. It wasn't a dark horse.
But this, I was really impressed with, I mean, she goes head-to-head with Meryl Streep in a couple scenes in that movie, and she holds her own and stays right with her the whole time. Yeah.
She does. I mean, there's a dinner scene and there's the scene after that, close towards the end, and you're just like, I was like, oh my god, that's Julia Roberts. Why is she talking like that? Because I just would never picture her. She's like, you know, the goody girl, Julia Roberts,
America's sweetheart.
Yeah, exactly. And this one, I was like, oh wow. And it's this very interesting movie, but she really stuck out in that movie. So I'm at a tie. If one goes in one of those two, I'll be happy. But I think Lupita will win. It's gonna be neck and neck, I think.
And honestly, I don't think there's a weak nomination in any of the performance categories this year. Like, I mean, I would be fine with, well, I shouldn't say I'd be fine with anybody winning, because obviously there's people I'd rather see over others, but every performance that's nominated this year, I was pretty impressed with. So there's not a weak, especially in this category, I don't think there's a weak performance in there.
I would agree that of the films I have seen, the performances I've seen have been up to a level that I haven't seen in all categories in a long time.
Yeah. And off the top of my head, I'm going to say that out of all the acting nominations, Jennifer Lawrence probably has the least amount of screen time. So
That was really the thing that bothered me. Yeah,
I would say out of all 20 acting nominations.
She was in it pretty strong in the second half.
Yeah, but not so much the first hour and a half.
Oh, God, that movie was so epically long.
Totally
So best supporting actor, Barkhad Abdi, I hope again I'm saying that right. Bradley Cooper, Michael Fassbender, Jonah Hill. Can we just talk about Jonah Hill being nominated for two Oscars in 2 seconds? And Jared Leto. I can honestly say there's no chance that Jared Leto doesn't win.
Oh, she's a shoo-in. A shoo-in. I think it's done. It's a done.
I think
deal.
That one's done.
It's like the Christian Bale as
fighter.
Yeah.
It's like it's that kind of transformation, and that it's not just pretending to be someone, you're actually acting.
Yep.
And I think that
I mean, just him wearing the heels, like did you watch him walking in those high heels? Like he nailed it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he was fantastic in that. And I don't like Jared Leto at all.
No,
I never watched My So-Called Life. I hate 30 Seconds to Mars.
I don't mind his music, but still, I'm not a fan of him at all. I'm not like.
And he hasn't made a movie in like 5 or 6 years, and he comes back to movies with that performance.
Well, he's been
so
trying to do the Kurt Cobain biopic forever, which is, his reel for that he put online is fantastic. If you've ever seen it.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Oh, Google Jared Leto as Kurt Cobain. It's pretty awesome.
Barkhead, I know that he wouldn't get, obviously. He's a newcomer. He's great. I mean, what a performance.
Like, yeah, great performance.
It's fantastic. It's better than Tom Hanks. And when they nominated him and then didn't nominate Tom Hanks, I wasn't surprised.
Yeah.
I thought his scenes where he was in, you felt his pain, you felt his struggle, you felt his anguish. And all he's trying to do is make $30.
Yeah, right up to the end where they take him away, you know, and I was like, oh, man. I mean, we kind of felt bad for him almost. Like he has to go through this shit just to feed his family, but, you know.
I thought Bradley Cooper in American Hustle, I'm a huge Bradley Cooper fan. So, I found it entertaining. It didn't blow me out of the – American Hustle overall didn't blow me out of the water, but he didn't help.
Yeah, honestly, I love Cooper. I think he's going to have an Oscar
sooner
within the next few years, the way he's going. And I thought he was great in American Hustle. I thought his American Hustle performance was more showy than Place Beyond the Pines.
Yes.
As an overall performance, I think I liked his performance in Place Beyond the Pines more.
If this said American...
But I thought he was great in American Hustle.
If this said Bradley Cooper, Place Beyond the Pines, I would be absolutely happy with that.
Yeah.
I think when you compare the two films, they just... Like you said, his performance is more showy and less emotional. I didn't see 12 Years of Full Slave. Michael Fassbender.
Fassbender's phenomenal.
Michael Fassbender, I mean... My thing was, again, I have another tie between, I mean, Jared Leto's a shoo-in, but Michael Fassbender was right up there. I mean,
he's
a character that comes in midway through the movie, and he was a guy I couldn't stop thinking about. I hated him. I absolutely couldn't stand this man. He was a sick, twisted human being. He was so compelled. He was obsessed with Solomon Northcutt, Chiwetel Ejiofor plays, the main actor. I mean, he was obsessed with this guy, but the way he delivers as this Southern slave over is unbelievable performance.
I think it's kind of interesting. The best supporting actors, there's usually at least once a year where someone is a bad guy.
Yeah.
He gets nominated for that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and I mean, Fassbender should have been nominated for Shame. Was that last year or the year before? How he did not get a Best Actor nomination for that,
everyone's
I'll never
of
know.
Sex, TJ.
Yeah,
everyone's
well, that's what it is.
Strange movie, but
yeah,
should have got nominated.
Again, Jonah Hill nominated for two best supporting actors within 3 years of each other. I liked him. I thought his performance in this was so much better than his performance in Moneyball.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree with that. Yep,
absolutely.
And in fact, I liked so much about Jonah Hill in this is his relationship is the symbiotic relationship between him and Leonardo DiCaprio's role. Was the most interesting thing to me about the whole film. And, you know, me and my wife were talking about it, and we'll get to it later. Sorry, I'm going on. But,
sorry.
I liked his accent. I mean, I have family in Long Island. So I loved his accent. I loved his teeth. I loved everything. His foul mouth, his random stories were just great.
Oh, I love the story about how he'd say he'd take his kids up to something and just let them. I was dying.
Yeah, let them run around in the forest. Like, they're free.
And then when he ate the goldfish, are you kidding me? This guy, man, unbelievable.
But I think it's going to be Jared Leto. I think it's just funny that Jonah Hill goes from, I mean, he took a pay cut.
Yeah.
Like, he made 60 grand, which, I mean, it sounds like a lot for working schmucks like us, but, like, for an actor to take that much of a pay cut to work for 7 months on a film.
Yeah.
And once again, it's a testament to Scorsese and his ability to get the best out of anyone.
Yep.
Like, I still think that what's his face? Ali G should have been nominated for supporting that. Sacha Baron Cohen should have been nominated for
Hugo.
Hugo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah,
I think
it's going to Leto.
Jared Leto. Leto?
I think this might be the closest category. I mean, they're all so good, honestly. And, like, this whole category, any of them really could have won it. Maybe, Jared Leto's definitely going to win. There's no way he's not winning it.
I certainly hope so, because then I'll be okay, fools.
I mean, if Fassbender wins it, I'll be happy, too, because he was unbelievable in that. But.
Best Actress, Amy Adams, American Hustle, Dame Judi Dench, Philomena, Cate Blanchett, is she a dame yet?
I don't think so.
Okay, Blue Jasmine, Sandra Bullock for Gravity, Meryl Streep, Dame Meryl Streep for August, O'Shea's County. I have seen two of these. Amy Adams. See, I love Amy Adams. What I thought was so interesting about American Hustle is that he took his two leads from his last two films and flipped who they have chemistry with.
Yeah.
And kind of flipped away the stories too from being all dysfunctional, but at the same time,
loves dysfunction.
This crazy dysfunction. But Amy Adams didn't blow me out of the water in this. I loved her, and she was awesome in The Fighter. But in this, well, I mean, the whole movie just kind of let me down. I'll get to it in a bit. I keep on distracting myself with how bad I thought it was when I'm talking about it. Sandra Bullock in Gravity, if there's going to be one movie that she should have been nominated for an Oscar, can we just take back the Oscar for the blind side?
Are you serious that she won for that? I still can't.
Yeah, we're with you.
Football, and I'm like, I just didn't understand this movie. I'm like,
Michael, he is your son. He is your family.
Stupid.
You block his blind side.
No. She walks into the hood, these guys are armed with guns, say, leave my boy, or whatever the hell she said. I was like, at that point, I wanted to just throw someone through the screen. I could get this out of my face.
But all that aside, our beloved hatred of The Blind Side, she was great in Gravity. And I think,
she was phenomenal.
I think Gravity has a lot of flaws, but her performance, her performance with a flawed character is phenomenal. And I think her performance... it takes a lot for me to get very emotional when I'm watching a film. And her performance in Gravity really took me in a full ride, roller coaster of emotion.
Roller coaster.
Like, it really brought me up, down, down.
Yeah.
And then back up. I thought it was really, I thought her performance is Oscar, absolutely Oscar worthy.
Yep, I'd agree.
I agree. She was, probably one of the best performances I've seen out of her. I mean, what does she do that's really that great?
You know, The Heat. Have you not seen The Heat yet?
I saw The Heat. All right.
I mean, I loved her in The Heat, but this was much better.
Pants off. Yeah, that's great. She should win for that. But. No, I mean, the scene that really got to me was when, and I think it's more of the director's part, was when she's in there and she's about to give up and die, and then she hears the baby or the dog barking.
Yeah, when she's on the radio with the guy. Yeah.
Yes. And then she sees a fake George Clooney, and then she comes back.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Now, I think you're right. It's one of those things where so much of it, and I'll get to it when we start talking about it, so much of it is just what a brilliant directing job is done, and what a great, what a really smart script it is. But I think also it's just her. And it's a lot like, what's his face in The Pianist?
Adrian Brody.
She carries the movie. It's her movie for 80 minutes.
Yeah.
And I think that's, if it doesn't go to her, Meryl Streep,
I think it's going to Cate Blanchett.
You think it's going to Cate Blanchett?
I think it's going to Cate Blanchett. I think she's got this one locked down.
I didn't see that.
Blue Jasmine, it's a phenomenal performance. I mean, and Cate Blanchett has one Oscar? Two Oscars? How many does she have? She's got at least one,
right? What's
she
won for?
Elizabeth? I think she won for Elizabeth.
I'll Wikipedia this.
But her performance in Blue Jasmine is just... It's just an unbelievable examination of depression and mental illness in this woman that is just fooling herself and trying to fool everyone else around her.
Oh, I should ask her about it.
Yeah, and I didn't realize it. My girlfriend and I, neither one of us realized it at the time. And then my girlfriend read an article about it and was like, oh, so Blue Jasmine is basically supposed to be a retelling of A Streetcar Named Desire. And then when you look at it in that way, it all fell together for me.
Really?
Yeah, so.
She does have one Oscar.
Which movie?
I'm trying to find that out.
I think it's Elizabeth.
It is The Aviator.
Wow.
Supporting actor.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was great in The Aviator.
But she was nominated for Elizabeth.
She
was. Okay.
For both Elizabeths, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Nominated for The Hobbit?
No, she wasn't The Hobbit, but no, she wasn't nominated. So you think Cate Blanchett? I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I think she's got this one.
So I think Sandra Bullock?
I think Sandra Bullock, and I also, Meryl Streep, and like, again, if you didn't see, who saw August, the Sausage County?
I did.
Yeah, I mean, she was great in that. I mean, she's great in anything she does, but how many times she won? Three already? I don't think they'll give her four.
Yeah, I don't think... I mean, Meryl just does a movie and she gets nominated,
yeah,
which...
Exactly.
Which, but at the same time, she's always nominated.
So
like, she always deserves it.
So good.
Yeah, and I was watching... I know there's been a lot of talk about her performance in August Osage County because I guess it doesn't... It's done a totally different way than the roles played on stage, I guess, from my understanding.
Yeah,
but
it is.
I sat there watching her in awe of all of her scenes because it is like a masterclass in acting watching her in this role.
I think she's just so – even the movies that she's bad in or a bad movie, she's still phenomenal.
I don't really like a lot of her movies, but I sat down to watch this and her and Julia Roberts scenes, like those scenes are the best scenes I've seen in a long time out of two women on screen. Like they're just
– I really liked her in – I still think she was great in Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, yeah, she was.
Like, that should have won.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but this movie, I mean, even the scenes, like, I mean, she's great when she's going head-to-head with Julia Roberts or anyone else in the cast of that movie, but there's scenes where she's not really doing anything and she's just either reacting to a character or even just watching another character.
Yeah.
And just the way her character is throughout those scenes, it just adds so much to the performance.
It does.
So we're going to move on now to Best Actor, Christian Bale. Not a sir yet.
Dark Knight.
Christian Bale in American Hustle. Bruce Stern, Nebraska. Leonardo DiCaprio, Wolf of Wall Street. How do you say his name?
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Thank you. For 12 Years a Slave. And Matthew McConaughey. Hey.
Detective.
All right.
I'm on a Matt McConaughey bandwagon.
Me too.
I will sell his t-shirts right now.
Yep, I'm with you. I'll buy one and sell it.
I will suck his sweat off his armpits. I don't know.
That's taking it to some different level there.
I know, sorry. Gets excited.
So, I've only seen three of these.
I saw four. I didn't see Nebraska.
I've seen them all.
I think I have to go with Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, I think it's going to McConaughey. I mean, again, all strong performances. Honestly, I think it's between McConaughey and Chiwetel, and everybody else kind of drops out of the race. There's a lot of talk about, is this DiCaprio's year? Like, I just don't think it is. Against those two performances, he's fantastic in Wolf of Wall Street.
If these guys were in it, I would say DiCaprio would win, but it's neck and neck between these two. I'm going to go with Chiwetel Ejiofor. He just left me with memories I could still think of that make me, like, sad and depressed inside from what I saw in that film and the way he delivered it.
Mm-hmm.
I love Matthew McConaughey, and I think I saw Dallas Buyers Club before 12 years, and I said McConaughey's definitely winning. I mean, he just – the weight loss and the way he delivers that character is
– What I love so much about his performance in Dallas Buyers Club is that it's so gradual.
Yeah.
Like, it's so painstakingly gradual and taking the time to tell that story as an actor. And, you know, ignoring the fact that he has had HIV for at least a year and a half. You know, and he didn't notice, why have I lost all of this weight?
Right.
And then all of a sudden this dawns on him. And, like, the slow acceptance of his own predicament and his own education. And that's part of the screenplay, I'm sure. But his whole realization as he's doing education and as he understands what HIV is and what people who have it aren't disgusting, aren't evil.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, I loved him in it. Absolutely loved him. You know, the thing with Leonardo DiCaprio, it was kind of silly. It's a kind of a silly performance. And it's not...
It's like, as I say, I felt like I was at my bachelor party for 3 hours when I watched the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's
I felt like Wolf of Wall Street, like, I'm partying, I'm having a good time. This is how I act on the weekends. I go, and he's performing it on screen.
Right.
I mean,
and I felt that his performance of it was a silly Henry Hill or a silly Ace. His performance never got to that same emotional appeal that, I mean, there's a reason why Henry Hill And that whole film of Goodfellas is such a quotable character and such a likable bad guy. Like, there's nothing likable about this guy.
There were great quotes in this, and there were some great scenes.
Oh, there were some great quotes and scenes, but it doesn't get down to the root of his like, Henry Hill's need was to be respected and wanted. It's just from that first line. One day, some kids carried my mom's groceries home. You know why? Out of respect. Like, just that one delivered line. And he didn't even win for that either.
Well, his thing was, his delivered line was, he's like, this is what people, in the beginning of Wolf of Wall Street, he's talking about whatever, everything that makes him happy. But then he's like, greed. It was basically money. He's like, this is what I want the most.
Right.
He's like, this will buy you happiness. And I don't know, that, like, hasn't gotten out of my head. Like, watch has made me motivated, like, start kicking more ass at work and, you know, living this guy's lifestyle was insane.
Well, I think it's interesting that, I mean, you're not still playing football, are you?
No.
Yeah. So you're a former football player. So you've been in that kind of atmosphere where these sales guys are just riled up into a feeding frenzy and then set loose. So you've been in that kind of an atmosphere. So I can totally understand why that type of character and that type of motivation. It appealed to me. I enjoyed it. Like, it's not that I didn't enjoy it.
Oh, no.
But it didn't have the same root.
But it's not as there's no way as compelling, like I said, as to McConaughey into Egypt Wars. It's nowhere near that. I think it's just two opposite performances for him to be close in a race to win it. You see what I'm saying? Like, he got nominated, but he's not in the runnings to win.
I agree.
I also like Christian Bale in American Hustle. I thought he played that role well. I really did like him in that.
Yeah. I like Christian Bale in anything.
Yeah,
basically.
Bale was great. And Bruce Dern, it's from being the only really veteran actor in the category, it's a great performance from Dern. So I think it's going to McConaughey. But
and I think it's funny that Bruce Dern kind of appears out of nowhere. Yeah. Like, you haven't seen Bruce Dern in film in years.
This movie until December. I'm like, what is this, Nebraska? I still need to watch it.
I think it's very interesting, like we were just talking about before, where usually is it Michael Payne? Thomas Payne.
What?
Nebraska.
Alexander Payne.
Alexander Payne. Usually an Alexander Payne film gets a lot of groundswell of attention. Like The Descendants. You know, like, it's so much steamroll. And this, because it was small, because it was black and white, it just kind of slipped under the radar for a lot of people. Okay. Yeah. So, Best Director, David O. Russell, American Hustle. It rhymes. Alfonso Cuarón.
Cuarón.
Gravity. Alexander Payne, Nebraska, Steve McQueen, not that Steve McQueen, the new one, not the one who died in the accident, 12 Years a Slave, and Martin Scorsese, The Wolf of Wall Street. Who?
McQueen.
Steve McQueen didn't die? I thought he died.
I think he died of cancer.
Oh. Let's do that one again. David O. Russell, American Hustle, I'm just making up facts. Gravity, Alexander Payne, Nebraska, Steve McQueen, 12 Years a Slave, and Martin Scorsese, A Wolf of Wall Street. I think if I had to pick out of any of these, knowing that I've only seen three of them, it'd be Alfonso Cuarón, Gravity.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Alfonso.
I'm gonna go with Gravity as well. I mean, I've never been to space and watched that movie. I felt like I was in space.
Yep.
I mean, I watched IMAX 3D and I just couldn't believe. I don't know how you make a movie like that, put it on film visually. And the movement of the film from beginning to end, once it starts going with the wreckage, I mean, it was unbelievably done well. It was great.
What I love so much about Gravity is, like you said, is the direction. Because that movie, in the hands of any other director, I think we said this a couple years ago, too, about another film. Like, in the hands of any other director, would have been awful.
Yeah, it would have jumped back to Earth to see what they were doing at, like, NASA, and it wouldn't have
been... It would have been terrible, but he takes his time.
It was interesting how you only saw Earth at the very end for, like, 2 minutes. It felt like Earth was non-existent watching it. I'm like, wow, like, this is, like, you see, you know, spoiler, Clooney, whatever. They're just, like, floating in space. It's, like, a whole other world you were brought into.
Yeah.
It was very interesting.
And it's so emotional. Like, it really... Like, I felt the low... I'm not a religious person, but it's the one time in a movie where I kind of went with her on this religious experience. Where, like, it was close as I can think of saying that I had, like, a moment of questioning my own mortality. And I think it has a lot to do with his direction and his ability to not only put that feeling of loss and of being lost and of being stuck in the middle, literally the middle of nowhere, in space. You're literally in the definition of space. No, but at the same time, having her dictate the emotion that you're going to be feeling.
Yes.
Yeah.
It felt like you were there with her. It made me feel like I was in space there, like every individual audience was alone. Like, even though you're watching a bunch of people, like, I looked my left and right, people were glued. It felt like everyone was just alone in space, like, what do I do now?
I was on the edge of my seat. Yeah. I very rarely get on the edge of my seat for anything.
Yeah, and that's a movie that, it's an experience. Seeing that movie in a theater, especially in IMAX 3D, was a movie experience that
you'll never get again.
Yeah, and 30 years from now, when I think back on memories of seeing a movie in a theater, Gravity is one that I have every confidence that it will stick out.
I think it has to.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be him.
Yep, so do I.
I think it's going to be him.
So now we're on to Best Picture. The Best Pictures are American Hustle, Nebraska, Captain Phillips, Philomena, Dallas Buyers Club, 12 Years a Slave, Gravity, The Wolf of Wall Street, and Her. Out of all of these films, I've seen half. So I will talk about the ones I have seen. I don't think it's going to be American Hustle. I think American Hustle... it's funny, I saw American Hustle 1 week and Wolf of Wall Street the next. Wolf of Wall Street is 1 hour longer than American Hustle. American Hustle felt like it was 2 hours longer than Wolf of Wall Street. I thought American Hustle was so...
I enjoyed every
minute. It was good. It's not that I did not enjoy it, but it was so... And I think it's probably part of the point of the film. It was just so deliberate, and it was just so slowly paced that it...
It was a slower
pace. It never lost me, but it also never grabbed me. It never pulled me in to care about these storylines the way the other other two films had. And you look at his last three films, and they're all, like you said before, they're all about really dysfunctional relationships.
Yeah.
And it's about people who probably shouldn't be together being together.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very interesting way to kind of look at his career and look at the kind of stories he's been, David O. Russell has been telling when, you know, Silver Linings Playbook is, you know, a romantic comedy. It's very dysfunctional, but at its core, it's a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like a star-crossed lovers. Like, I feel like I've seen this movie before.
It was called Goodfellas.
Exactly.
No, I enjoyed American Hustle.
Goodfellas. When I walked out, when I watched my brother, I go, doesn't that kind of remind you of Goodfellas? My only bias is this, I actually had a part in the movie. I actually had it locked in. I got the call, went and did my thing. They called me, said, you're in. And then about 30 minutes later, they said, well, the director, I don't think, is going to use you. Did you guys watch the movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a scene with Robert De Niro.
Oh, really?
Yes, I was supposed to be one of his henchmen or something like that. I have no idea. I was really heated. So I don't want them to win just because of that. Fuck them. They can kiss my ass.
This is the opposite thing that happened with Foster.
I called my brother. I was about to announce it to everyone. And just when that happened, I got a phone call again from like the casting director. I was so heated. I still have the voicemail saved, just to remind me.
You know, I remember you actually posting that. Because I remember you saying, I might have some really good news in a couple hours.
Yes.
And then you were like, never mind.
Yes, but I'm not embarrassing myself. I was so mad. I'm like, I get to be with Bale and De Niro. Oh.
You know what, actually, that was one of the few things I liked about it, is to get the De Niro thing under wraps.
Yeah.
You didn't know that was coming.
No.
And it was a smart use of him. And it was a very smart element of the story. And, you know, they say at the beginning that some of this is based on a true story. Like, you wonder what parts were.
Right.
Because that was very interesting.
It was very loosely based on the Abscam scandal. I really liked Jeremy Reiner's character. I really liked him. I felt for him. I felt that he was trying to do good for the people of New Jersey. And he just got fucked in the end by Bale. But I don't think it's going to win. I didn't like the film, though.
No, I mean, like all these films I saw, I enjoyed.
Yeah.
It's just, like, that one, to me... And it's like, I don't dislike it. It's not like I have any, like, strong...
Louis
like, you...
C.K., I had no idea was in it. He was great.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, Louis C.K. is... Well, he's gone.
Yeah, his scenes are awesome.
So funny.
I didn't see Nebraska. DJ?
Honestly, I think it's a three-horse race. I think it's between American Hustle, Gravity, and 12 Years a Slave, and everything else just doesn't stand a chance.
You, not even Dallas Buyers Club?
No, not as a film. I think, no, I think the... I loved it. I think it's really coming down between those three movies. I don't think there's the push behind Dallas Buyers Club for a film as strong as it is for those two performances in terms of winning.
I can see that, actually. I do agree with that.
I agree with that.
Yeah, and I think, I honestly think, it, given the sheer amount of nominations American Hustle got, I don't think we can count it out yet.
Yeah.
I personally, I want to see Gravity win. That was my favorite out of these.
I think out of my five, that's my favorite too.
Yeah, but I mean, 12 Years a Slave was right neck and neck with it at this point, I think. And honestly, if it goes to either one of those, I think it's a good year. Because both of those are two of the films that really stood out this year.
Gravity is the only, I mean, I didn't see 12 Years a Slave. And I'm sure if I did, I would have a much more emotional pull to it. But I did see Gravity. And I did see American Hustle, and of those two, Gravity is the only film that I had an emotional response to. And that I was talking about for 3 or 4 days later, telling people you need to see it now while it's in theaters.
Yeah, and I liked American Hustle. The pacing and the length didn't bother me until about 2 hours, and at that point I checked my watch and I was like, oh, there's another 20 minutes of this? That's the only issue I had with it.
They cut out some stuff into that.
Yeah, and honestly, I think it's a great showcase for performances. As an overall film, I don't think it's quite at Best Picture level. But I love the performances. I'm a huge fan of all of those actors. I actually, going back to Amy Adams, I felt her performance in a way was kind of an anchor for the rest of them. So I think it's not as showy as any of those other performances, but in a way, her role kind of anchors the whole film and that whole
The overall around her.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it could still win, but I want to see it go to Gravity.
Gravity is my pick, too.
Out of all the movies, I enjoyed Gravity the most. It was the most entertaining out of the film. I think 12 Years a Slave is going to take it. Is going to take the crown on Best Picture.
You know, I hope it does. Because I feel like we've been down this road before with Glory.
Background of the theme of the movie. And just the way it was filmed. I mean, it's just a really good movie. Like, I can't say it's not good at any parts of it. It's just done so well. I think it's going to win. I think it is going to be neck and neck between those three, especially between 12 Years a Slave and Gravity. Like,
I say this every year, and I feel like every year I wish they would release the voting. Like, the percentage. Like, Hall of Fame battle voting for baseball.
What's second place?
Exactly. I would every year I would love to see. Cool. Mainly so I could just say you gave this to Smash rather
Crash
rather than this. So let's just talk about our best films. Like, we all love Gravity, and I think if you had to rank them, DJ, how would you rank them?
If I was ranking them strictly, I'm ranking them in how much I enjoyed them.
And
personal
DJ
yes.
favorites.
Not necessarily.
We've had this before discussion with DJ's favorites.
I'm not saying this is in order of what I think is best picture. These are my personal favorite order.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And we're going reverse order?
Always reverse
order. Okay, so number 9, Captain Phillips.
I can see that.
Number 8, Nebraska. 7, Wolf of Wall Street. 6, American Hustle. 5, 12 Years a Slave. 4, Philomena, 3, Dallas Buyers Club, 2, Her, and 1, Gravity. And I should say, Philomena and 12 Years a Slave, it's practically a tie, and I go back and forth on which one I actually like more. So that one, I should just
notate
give that little caveat. Yeah, and that's my ranked list.
You know, if I based on the ones I had seen, American Hustle at the bottom, then comes Captain Phillips, then Wolf of Wall Street. And that's, like you said, those two for me, they could be... I mean, Wolf of Wall Street, again, didn't blow me away. And I think me and my wife were talking about it afterwards. And like I said before with making the comparison to Goodfellas, there's... Like, you understand why he's doing that. It's greed. It's money. It's the 90s. The bubble hasn't burst. And I understand all of that. But my wife made a great point after we saw it. Is like, okay, you get that he's greedy, and you get that it's all based on money. but there's no emotional, like, why? Like, why does he want money this badly? Whereas with Goodfellas and with Casino, you knew the reason they both wanted that spot. And they were both earning what they could earn for their life. There was a sense of emptiness that the money and the fame and the power filled, but you understood their motivation. And I feel that in...
Yeah, they never really went into his background.
Right, and Wolf of Wall Street, you never had that motivation.
The one scene where they do kind of draw it was when he's on the boat and the FBI agent's like, you know what? He's like, I've investigated all these guys, and most of them are douchebags. He's like, you did this on your own. He's like, you're the little guy or whatever. And that kind of a little bit grabbed me emotionally. Like, all right, I'm like, this guy actually worked his ass off to get everything for himself.
That's my favorite scene in the entire film. That's my favorite scene in the entire film. With two great actors, and you can tell their motivations aren't hidden, and they aren't blind, and they know what exactly the other one is going to do. And you don't know until he opens his mouth if the FBI agent is going to accept the offer. And even then, it takes you two more like lines of dialogue to realize what he's going to do next.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked all the films, but I feel like Wolf of Wall Street and Captain Phillips can be flip-flopped. But with Gravity, I think Gravity is my favorite, coming up on top.
Okay. I didn't see Nebraska and Philomena, so I'm going to put those at 9 and 8.
Yeah.
Just because I haven't seen them, so I can't judge on them. I'm going to go with Captain Phillips as 7. Let's see. Captain Phillips as 7. 12 Years a Slave, I'm going to put that as 6. I mean, I think it's a great Best Picture of movies I enjoyed. Like I said, I just wouldn't want to watch it again. So right. It's not a movie I'm going to buy on Blu-ray and stick it back in my...
watch it every like, couple months.
Like Precious? You're not going to watch Precious over and over again?
No, I'm not. Just some movies I can't watch again.
It took me 4 years to watch Precious. Like, I had to work myself up so emotionally to watch it.
Yeah, I can do it. So where am I? I got Her next. I really liked Her. As number am I at 5. Then I'm going to go with Dallas Buyers Club, American Hustle, Gravity, and then I'm going to have to go with Wolf of Wall Street. It's my favorite movie I enjoyed watching. I just really liked it. Maybe because I'm biased, like Nick said, I like that atmosphere. I just like the whole film of how it was done. I don't know.
Well, I think there's nothing to take away from how it was done. It was amazingly done.
Energy, like I was alive. I don't know what it is. Like every time I'm just like happy. I'm like, oh yeah.
It got me psyched up, but I've never been in a locker room before.
It was just cool. I was like, oh, this is on film. Like holy shit.
What's really interesting with that, I think, especially with that role, and I think DJ was the one who was telling me about it, is that if you guys have seen Boiler Room, is loosely based on him, but this is actually his story. And comparing the two, you could see that, how they took elements of that Boiler Room aspect of Penny Stocks. Just like that hard sell. And like, and in fact, it was so funny. When it goes into the Penny Stock place with Spike Jonze. When he goes into that Penny Stock place, and he's doing that pitch to that woman or to that guy or someone. I turned to Angel. I'm like, I've seen this exact same scene in the Boiler Room.
Wasn't me that said that.
Oh, you weren't? I thought you did tell me.
It must have been Ben Harris.
Yeah. No, but I loved, I enjoyed, like, the Wolf of Wall Street, there's so much CGI in it. And have either of you seen, there's a video that goes through how.
Oh, it shows, what they did with Great Gatsby,
The beach, where he had his wedding was actually just like a place in Queens. They just digitally took out the skyline and put
dock getting on the boat before the storm.
That was all a green storm. Oh, it was very interesting.
I didn't know that.
It was very well produced, and I think it's a fine film. It's funny, too. It's really more funny than I thought it was going to be.
It just makes me happy. I mean, in not the sense that he's ripping. That pissed me. I mean, he's ripping people off. I didn't obviously like that part. But, like you know how he has his guys he grew up with? I grew up with kids and guys like that. He's got like that one guy that's lifting weights and I know some idiot like that. I don't know, it's just something I could kind of relate to.
I totally get it. I think what I liked so much about that whole relationship was the parts where he I'll just slip my mind. I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny, man. I like the I remember now the scene where he just gets so messed up on Quaaludes.
Oh, and then goes back
in the whole country club, the home scene.
Makes the call.
Where he just snorts some coke and then just like saves Jonah Hill. Yeah. Like we were dying.
As Popeye's playing on the TV with the spinach. Yeah.
He turns into Popeye.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will kill him. I got it.
So good. But Gravity, I mean, like you said, Gravity's up there too. They can flip flop for me because that's a movie. You can watch it on at home on Blu-ray, but it won't be the same.
It won't be the same, yeah.
Won't. I'm sorry.
I'm not going to watch it at home, but...
You can. It's almost like you can't.
You're absolutely right, but at the same time, when you see it in that big screen environment, and I'm repeating myself, you feel her sadness, and you feel how alone she is. Yeah. And the moment where she decides life is worth living, you're always like, yeah, life is worth living. Let's go do this.
Let's go. Let's go.
Let's jump from spaceship to spaceship.
Let's not talk about how flawed. And that's,
I don't know about that.
That's the part with Gravity that I found, that also thanks to Neil deGrasse Tyson, how just deeply flawed elements of going from space station to space station. That part of it is silly.
Yes.
But everything else, and like what was the other part was like, I remember Louis C.K. did a great bit in Opie and Anthony a couple weeks ago about... She's a reluctant astronaut. Like, no one's a reluctant astronaut. Like, you go there because you want to go in
space. She's a doctor that ends up in space or something, yeah.
But, like, she doesn't want to be there. I'm like, no, not a doctor, you absolutely want to be there.
Yeah.
So, like, there are elements of that where I find it a little hokey or not really believable, but the overall storytelling and the visual elements and the emotion is what really is what caught me, and I pushed all that other stuff aside. I think that's a good definition of a really good film when you can push the flaws aside and really get into it.
Yeah, I wish they would release that movie once a year on IMAX.
Yeah, so do I.
They just re-released it, didn't they? A couple weeks
ago. But it only played for a couple of days, and then RoboCop took over for IMAX.
RoboCop. This isn't the RoboCop podcast, but Gawker put together a list, or Vulture put together a list. Of all the headlines about RoboCop, and they're all basically, it's not as bad as it should be.
No, it's not. I was so against it. My brother and one of my best buddies, who's a huge film nerd like me from law school, actually Ben Harrison was him, they both saw it, and they said it's actually not winning Oscars. He said it's actually not that bad. Like, the action, he said, is good. And the story, like, they didn't go anywhere towards the original. And my younger brother's a huge RoboCop fan. We quote it all the time. You know, Dead or Alive, you're coming with you. I could buy that for $1. We're always at the movie theater. I'm like, hey, give me that popcorn. Like, I could buy that for $1. We're always just going back and forth. But he said it is actually watchable. So I'm actually going to, I may go see it Tuesday. I don't know.
I have a quick question before we end it. Sure. With the amount of love that Frozen has received, I have not seen Frozen. I really don't want to see Frozen.
Oh, I can't. I watched the first 10 minutes. I walked out. It's all singing. I can't do all singing.
I like, and it's not like I don't like animated films. I do like animated films. I just think I'm not into Disney princess films.
No, but at the same time, I saw it, and it. If you watch the whole movie, it's Disney going off in a different direction than they ever have before, and it's a much more positive message than I think any Disney movies ever had.
Really?
Because as much as I enjoy kind of the classic Disney films that I grew up watching, The Little Mermaid probably doesn't have the best message to be going out to little girls. But no. Frozen has a very strong message, and it's not the typical Disney princess movie.
Well, that's good
which
to know.
Which I thought, I was pretty impressed with Disney after seeing it.
My niece has seen it 4 times. My 3-year-old niece has seen it 4 times.
Really?
Yes, my brother has taken her. He goes, you know what, though? It's actually a really good movie, so I don't mind.
Yeah, I thought I was... And it's the kind of movie that I didn't... really realize how much I enjoyed it till it was almost over. And then I was like, it's just kind of happening for me. And then towards the end, I was like, kind of really like this.
Yeah.
So.
But is it singing throughout the whole movie?
It's not. It slows down, I guess, because I don't remember. See, I don't remember. I mean, I remember the songs.
It's all
but...
singing. I'm like, I can't. I just couldn't do it. Like, I started getting a headache, and I had to walk out.
But, I mean, Frozen's going to win Best Animated Movie, right?
I'm assuming it is. There's one other one on there that's directed by the Japanese director.
Oh, what's his name?
His name.
What else was nominated? Frozen's making money like Avatar was. It just won't go away.
Yeah, it's insane how much it's made.
Best animated. Is it on this list? It's gotta be.
Did any of you guys see Lego Movie yet?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I want to. Good?
So good.
Yeah?
So good. I mean, you could... It's for all ages. It's so good.
Is it
so
really good? I just...
It's really good. Can't. It really is. It's funny. Story's good. All the characters are great. Batman's funny. I mean, Liam Neeson pops in there. I mean, it's just... It's good. It got 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I didn't believe why, but it deserves it.
Yeah, I gotta catch that.
No, I haven't... I don't know. And my wife really wants to see it, but I'm... I don't know. I don't know. It's just one of those films where... Like, I'm not usually one of the guys like, consumerism. But at the same time, like, really, it's a two-hour commercial for Legos. And I don't want to be... I don't want to watch that. But who the hell do I know? It's making money.
But it's also done by the guys who did 21 Jump Street, and that was a huge surprise for me how much I like that.
Wait, it's the same director?
The Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum Channing Tatum Superman and Jonah Hill's Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Get out, really? I had no idea. Well, now that I know it's the same directing team.
You're in.
Now, did they do 22 Jump Street too?
Yeah.
Here we go. The Croods, Despicable Me 2, Ernest and Celestine... Frozen and The Wind Rises.
Miyazaki, yeah.
Miyazaki.
The only thing that I can see taking it from Frozen is the Miyazaki movie, but I think Frozen's got it just because it's everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's made,
the animated movie.
Yeah. All right. I don't even know how The Croods is on there.
Well, it's a better airplane.
It's all right, but that made so much money. It made the most money of 2013, I think.
What, The Croods?
No, Despicable Me 2. Oh.
I would never watch Despicable Me 2. I couldn't stand number one.
I watched it just because everyone was talking about it. But
yeah, right. You just wanted to see the Minions.
I enjoyed the first one. I have the second one sitting at home. I haven't gotten to it yet.
I didn't think it was great. It's like, I don't know why so many people spent that much money to see it. Like, it wasn't that good, but it was mediocre. It wasn't anything great.
It's no How to Train Your Dragon 2. So again, that's the next Pizzcast Oscar edition. I hope to come back. We always say that maybe I'll do one a couple more this year. Who knows? But again, I'm DJ. I mean, I'm...
No, you're Nick. I'm DJ.
God damn it. We almost got through it. Oh, man.
You've never messed up your own name
before.
I've never
messed up the name before. I'm Nick.
And I'm DJ.
I'm Girl.
And we are the Pizzcast Movie Edition, Oscar Cast, Oscar Edition. We are the Pizzcast Oscar Edition. Enjoy the night. Go see movies.